He's your rabbi, just wanted to say. Okay, we move on to Yachatz. So where in the world did Yachatz come from? So that's the Gemara in the second parak, Maseches Pesachim, where the Gemara comments on the phrase Lechem Oni. Matzah is called Lechem Oni in Parashas Re'eh. So the Gemara learns out a whole series of different halachas from Lechem Oni, mamash across the gamut of different types of halachas. So one halacha the Gemara learns out is part of the Cheftza of Matzah. The Matzah has to be Lechem Oni in contrast to Matzah Shira. And the Gemara says another day, and the Lechem Oni teaches me that you have to speak about the matzah, loshen aniya lechem she'olim alav dvarim harbei. Then there was another din of lechem oni that the oni beprusa, afatav beprusa. Then oni breaks his bread in half. He never knows where he's going to have the next meal, so he always saves a little bit stashed away. So too matzah has to be broken as well. So all these din are true. They're all right. We pass like all of them. So it's to fulfill this din of lechem oni ma'oni beprusa that we break the matzah. There is a machlekes and rishonim about what does that mean, we break the matzah. How many matzahs are we supposed to have in the first place? So the machlek is the Rashbam and the Rambam. So the Rashbam says that, of course, there's a din of Lecha Mishnah on Yom Tov, like any other Shabbos. If there's a din of Lecha Mishnah, and to be Lecha Mishnah, you have to have Shleimus. So if you're going to break the matzah, you're not going to have Shalom, you're not going to have Lecha Mishnah properly. So the Rashbam says, therefore, it must be, you start up with three matzahs. You start up with three, you break one, you end up with two and a half. So then you have both Lecha Mishnah as well as Lecha Moni. And the Rambam, Hinuchas Chametz Tzimatzah says, no, that the din of Lechem Oni redefines Lechem Mishnah Pesach night. The Pesach night, the Lechem Mishnah is different. Lechem Mishnah Dafka is broken. According to the Rabbah, if you have two and a half matzahs, you defeated the purpose. The goal is to destroy, in a sense, to break up the Lechem Mishnah, to make it a not complete Lechem Mishnah, in order to fulfill, to highlight the fact that it's a Lechem Oni. So a yesh v'yesh. So most Ashkenazim today follow the view of the Rashbam. And then Tamidi Agra, some of the people who don't follow a lot of the Rambams, so they follow the Shittas Rambam. Most the standard minhag is to follow the Rashbam. That idea that this coin Levi Yisrael is cute when you're in a nursery, they tell you that, but there's not that much more to it than that. Okay, the real reason is for this reason. Fine. So we break the matzah, then we put the part of the matzah aside for Fikurman later, and then we leave the rest of the matzah out on the table. So the matzah should be uncovered, where the bulk of the Seder, the matzah are uncovered. That's a real din. That's called Lechem She'enim Alav Dvarim Harbei. It's Mechlekes HaRishonim. At what point is it already not necessary to cover the matzah? So Rashi writes that Onimel of Dvarim Harbei means Halal and Haggadah, that you complete the entire Haggadah, you complete the entire Halal on the matzahs. So that's what some Makbid, that based on that Rashi, that you leave matzahs on the table even after the meal's over. After you bench, since you're finishing the Halal, the second half of Halal is going to be after benching, so you should have matzahs on the table to fulfill the din of Onimel of Dvarim Harbei. And that's what some Rishayim say. Another Rishayim seem to say, no, that as long as you said a little bit of halal, so you start off the halal, that's good enough. So you can take the matzahs off after benching. So yesh v'yesh, I think, quote from the Briska Rav, that he was machbid, that he kept matzah on the table for the entire night. It means as long as they were still up, Yisab Mitzias Mitzayim, we'll call it Laila. So the mitzvah magid, as the Rashi says, she'omel dvarim harbei, she'omel of halal v'hagodah. So the hagodah doesn't end when you finish nirtzah. The Haggadah continues, the kolam marble sabbath, as long as you keep on going throughout the night. So that's all a kiyum of sibbatism chayim. So it's better that sibbatism should be in the presence of the matzahs. A lot of people leave matzahs on the table throughout the duration of until you fall asleep, they put the matzahs back into the box. Okay, so yachatz and magis, and I'll start to the main mitzvah, one of the two mitzvahs there, Ais and Lola Seder, Bismanazel, the mitzvah of magid. So there is the famous question that everybody asks is, what is the difference between the mitzvah of Magid on Pesach night and the mitzvah of Zechir Tzitzis and Trem every other night? We pass in that Maskir Tzitzis Trem Balelos. So there's a mitzvah, Pashas Min HaTorah, to talk about Tzitzis and Trem every night of the year. So what was this Chadash on Pesach night? So there are many, many answers to this question. So Reb Chaim collects a whole array of differences between the mitzvah of Tzitzis and Trem and the mitzvah of Zechira every night. Reb Chaim appears in the stencils and the Chadash Ben Shas and the Sechas Pesachim. So one of the differences Reb Chaim says is that on Pesach night it's a Sipur. So a Sipur has to have a beginning, has to have an end, has to have a theme to it, has to have a story to it, has to have a developing plot to it. A Zechira is just a statement of fact. Like Zechira Samalik, Zechira Shabbos, Zechira Tzitzrayim, you just make a statement. Ne'eshem l'keichem v'shartzeichem v'tzrayim v'shoyin gemarnu. Whereas a Sipur is much more than that. Sipur is you have to have a start, you have to have an end. So that's what the Mishnah says in the end of Maseches Pesachim, Maschav v'gnusu v'sayim v'shevach. So Chaim says, where did that come from? Maschav v'gnusu v'sayim v'shevach? Because it's the din of Sipur, and Sipur has to have a beginning, has to have an end. That's the plot. What is the Masel Ruzai Mishavach? So the Gemara is a Machloek, is Rav and Shmuel. Is that referring to the Avad Mayinu? Is that referring to Mitchila of the Avad Azar? Is the highlight on the physical Gula or the spiritual Gula? So our practice is we combine both. Some say there's no real Machloek is there. Each woman is just giving a different side of the coin. So in the Mice, you have to say both. You have to make sure to say both of the basic Gnosis and Shevach. That's what the post can point out, that it's important that everybody participates in the Mitzvah Magid. According to many opinions, women are chayavos in Magid, even potentially in HaTorah. So if women are chayavos, they should be there at the main parts of Magid. So sometimes women tend to run to the kitchen, check on the food at different parts of the Seder. So if they miss, Baruch HaMachom, or they miss, Dayenu, so that the world's not going to come to an end. But if they miss Avad HaMayinu, they miss B'chil of the Vedazara, so that's pretty important. So make sure that the women are there, and make sure that everyone understands that that's what the Rishonim write, that the tradition was in the days of Rishonim, that there were people at the table who didn't necessarily speak Hebrew, so they were translated into French or Spanish, whatever language they spoke, everyone should understand, everyone should be participating properly in the mitzvah of Sipitzis Mitzrayim. The Mishnah says in the end of Maseches Pesachim that Dorish Kalaparsha Kula, that the Chazal were misakein, that the mitzvah of Sipitzis Mitzrayim is supposed to be in the context of the parsha. It's supposed to be Arami Yomidavi. You say a word for the pasuk, then you give a teshuvah peh, you elaborate, so you doirish, and the Rambam writes, they call a marich bedrushos the parsha, is a meshubach. Most people don't do that. Most people say, well, the divrei Torah, the Avrabonim, and then by the time they get to the Arami Yomidavi, they hit the gas, because the food's already getting burnt, already everyone's falling asleep. So they, but really, the Rambam describes exactly, that's the main part of the Haggadah. So that idea that Mamarbes or Chaim says, that's also part of Sipur. That Sipur needs more than just Zechira. Zechira is just a little bit. There's no din of, Pashup Shaz, there's no din of Kalamar B'Sapitzim and Shramayz Meshubach every night of the year. That's only a special din, Dafka by the Lola Seder. So we go through the entire Magid, and then Magid culminates with a Hallel. So we start to say Chatzi Hallel. So Chazal Besakein, that the Hallel is split up a little bit. The first two problems of Hallel said it right at the end of Magid, and then the rest of the Hallel is said at the rest of later on. A lot of people don't realize just how important the single Hallel is. The single Hallel is a real din that you have to say every single word. It's like Kriyas Megillah. If you miss a word of Kriyas Megillah, you're not Yetzi. If you miss a word of Hallel, you're not Yetzi either. So a lot of people, they think it's just like singing, it's just having fun, Malachai, people push it and miss words. So you have to be very careful that men are chayavim in Hallel and women are chayavim in Hallel. The Lelah said, the Taisus points out of a Sefer Sukkah, the Flamin Ches, that although women are pturus from Hallel and Yontif, the Pashup Shad is women are not chayavim in Hallel and Yontif. Mishnah says in Sukkah that if a woman says Hallel to be made to you, you have to say, Oh, Nacharel, you have to say each word as she says. She can't say the words to be made to you because she's not Chayevis. So Taisus writes, we met them on that women are Pturos from Halal, that's a Halal of Yontif, that's what Session says around Grama. But Halal of the Seder, of other women are Chayevis, and that's an Halal. So of other women are Chayevis, so those brings a Raya, because one of the Dalakaisis is Halal. So the Gemara says that the Dalakaisis were instituted, Keneged, the four mitzvahs alayla. So if women are not Chayevis in Halal, so why in the world are they drinking the fourth coast? So women also have to be instructed that they have to say the two prakam beforehand, and they have to say all the rest of the halal. Every single word has to be said, has to be pronounced properly. That's a real din. Some even say that the halal Pesach may even be deraisa. So we'll get to that. We'll get to halal. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So after Magid and the halal is over, so then we say the bracha on the Haggadah. That's the bracha of Shagel Lanu. And our minhag is that's followed with the bar priyagofen, and then we drink the wine. So there's a machlekes harishonim whether that is correct or not. So other Rishonim claim that there is no bracha bar priyagofen that said on the second coast, or for that matter on the fourth coast, because hilchos brachas anenin would dictate that there was no real hefsek between from the first bracha. I made a bar priyagofen at the beginning of the seder. I'm still shmoozing. I'm still talking about. Still have my haggadah open. So now an hour and a half later, when I get to the bar priyagofen, I show you alanu. So many Rishonim say there's no need to recite another bracha. And similarly, when it comes to the bracha of the third kos of Berachas Hamazon, so then 20 minutes later, I'm going to drink the kos of Hallel, what I have to make another bracha for. And most of us follow the other practice. Our minig, Ashkenazi communities, our minig is that we recite a separate bracha in each one, because somehow each one, even though the regular rules of brachas wouldn't require it, but somehow each one is considered to be like a mitzvah finei atzma. Each one is a separate entity, a separate independent kos, and therefore does warrant a bracha. That's what our practice is. So after the person drinks the second kos, so then he finished the mitzvah of Magid, finished the beginning of the mitzvah of Halo, then he moves on towards the next part of the Seder. So the next part of the Seder is Rachza. Rachza is simple. Rachza is just until Tilsidayim, so you just wash Tilsidayim like you do it any other time. Now you get to one of the highlights of the Seder, you get, of course, the Maitzi Matzah. You get to the mitzvah of Achilles Matzah. So the mitzvah of Achilles Matzah is a machlokes Amoraim at the end of Maseches Pesachim, is that a mitzvah deraisa b'zman hazeh. So one Amora says that it's not deraisa today because it's totally on Pesach. Matzah from Yichlu, you don't have a on Pesach, there's no matzah deraisa. The Gemara says, according to that opinion, then there's no Sipur either in deraisa. Because Sipur has to be bavur zeh, b'shoshesh matzah v'omrachim fanecha. So if there's no matzah deraisa, there's no korban pesach, there's no mor deraisa, so then there's no sipur deraisa. That's a very big letdown according to that opinion. So the whole seder is all derban. The only deraisa is birchas hamazon. Everything is a derban. So the Gemara says emphatically, we don't pass that way. The Gemara quotes it from a Tana, from a Braisa that rejects that view, and the Gemara rejects that view. The Gemara Tanik would say derava, that no, that even though mor is only derabanan today, mor is tachatoli on korban pesach, but matzah is deraisa. It's deraisa because. Because the pasuk says be'erev teich lematzis, so that extra riba, the extra pasuk teaches us that even b'zman she'em beis mikdashkayim, the mitzvah achilas matzah is in fact a real bona fide mitzvah deraisa. That's what we pass in l'cha l'maisa. So in order to fulfill this mitzvah, what do you have to do? So you have to eat a piece of matzah. What defines a matzah? So the Mishnah says that matzah is made up of two ingredients. It has to come from the chameishas b'nei dogon. It has to come from the five species of grains. So two of those species of grains we know with absolute certainty. One is wheat and one is barley. It's a chitas ora. Then the Mishnah gives you the other ones. Shul and Shifon. So the Rashi quotes the traditions that we're familiar with. Rashi quotes the old French words, the old Latin words, which if you look up in your old French dictionary, you'll realize. So they refers to oats and to rye and to spelt. And not everyone agreed to that. There were some Mishanim who had different traditions as to what those grains were, but usually the Adam assumes, like Rashi, those are the chameshes bnei dogon. Those are the things that you make motzi on. Those are the things you make mezayin. You make alamichi on. Those are the things that chayav sinchal. Those are the things that are subject to yoshon. All the halachas that depend upon chameshes bnei dogon, we assume they refer to these five species. There were some poskim who were nervous about this. Some poskim said that maybe it's not such a great idea to eat spelt matzahs or oat matzahs because there were some rishonim who weren't convinced that was for the chameshes bnei dogon. So again, usually the people who eat those kinds of matzah, usually people who have trouble digesting the regular wheat matzahs. So, no one's going to buy the 16 times the price of the special matzahs, which don't taste as good as wheat matzahs anyway, unless they have some medical problems. So those who have medical issues, they're relying on, if they can't eat wheat matzahs, they're relying on this poskim, the Rashi, that's considered to be chameshes aminei dogon. In addition to being from dogon, it has to be mixed with water. So the Gemara says that you can't mix it with other juices. If you mix it with other juices, so that's what's called matzah ashira, and that's no good. It doesn't necessarily mean it's chametz, it just means that that's not called lechem aminei. It wouldn't be acceptable for the lechem seder. Ashkenazim have a custom that we don't eat the matzah shira the rest of the week of Pesach also for a totally different reason, because there's a whole sugi in the Gemara about whether if you mix flour with let's say with wine or with oils, things like that, can it become chametz or not? So we pask in the Migra din, it probably can't really become chametz. Ein mechmitzin, may peres ein mechmitzin. For Rabbi Natam, as a whole Shikul Torah, he explains that b'medev amrum ein mechmitzin, that's if it's just pure fruit juice together with flour. But if you put a little bit of water into it, that's going to, not only will it become chametz, it could actually hasten the chametz process. It'll become chametz even faster. So Rabbi Natam says that once you have water and juice in there, you're asking for trouble. So the Ramah quotes that idea from Rabbi Natam and says, we have a minhag not to eat matzah shira ever because we're always nervous that maybe a little bit of water got mixed in, even though pretty confident probably didn't, but you never know, it's too risky. So therefore the minhag in the Ashkenazi communities became not to eat matzah shira the entire week of Pesach. The Ramah writes, and there's only a minhag, so says, here is a chumra bi'alma. So the Ramah writes that the minhag was never accepted by Mokham Chayli. If you have people who are sick or older, they probably can't digest regular matzah, so the egg matzah is easier on the stomach. So the juice, we call it egg matzah, the fruit juice, the apple juice matzah, the grape juice matzah is easier on the stomach. So the Ramah writes that people who are Chayilim have a right to eat matzah shira during the week of Pesach, but they can't be yotzei the kezayis by the Seder, but they're allowed to eat it. But in terms of being yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah, so you can't be yotzei with matzah ashira. That's the source of Rabbi Natam's famous kula. Rabbi Natam writes that in the end of Maseches Pesachim, that the Isser, that Yushami says, is an Isser Pashas Rabbana, not the Matzah in Erev Pesach, because we want to eat the Matzah L'shal Mitzvah L'Teyavon. So Rabbi Natam claims that Isser only applies to Matzah that you can be Yetzir to say to it. You have a kind of a Matzah, anyway you can be Yetzir to it, like Matzah Shira, so then the Isser wouldn't apply. And the Rambam probably doesn't accept that, Kula, but the Rabbi Natam does, and we probably pass it like the Rabbi Natam L'maisa. That's what the Poskim write, that Mikra Din, you're allowed to eat egg Matzahs on the apple juice Matzahs in Erev Pesach. The only thing is that that solves the Isra Achilas Matzah in our Pesach. What about the chometz issue? So we know that the Zman Isra Achilas chometz is way early on in the morning. So do we say that that Minhag of the Ramah, not to eat egg matzahs, not to eat the matzah shira, not to eat the fruit juice, apple juice, grape juice, matzahs, was that Minhag only on Pesach proper? Was it Chashash and the Sakaris? Or was that Minhag even on Erev Pesach? Erev Pesach is no Karis. Worst, there's a lav. Even that, it's not clear. Some Rishonim say it's an Isra Esay. Some Rishonim say it's a lav. Some Rishonim say it's an Isra Drabonon. So whatever the Isra of eating Erev Matzah, eating chametz in Erev Pesach is, it's not 100% clear whether that minig of the Ramah, not the egg matzahs and not the matzah shira matzahs, was that instituted on our Pesach. If you make it on that child, that'll be a big, big help. Means you can eat lunch. You can have yourself a piece of egg matzah for lunch on Erev Pesach. And that would help a lot when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. You can plan all your sudas around egg matzahs, and others disagree. So there seems to be a little bit of a steer in Ramah. The Ramah in Daki Moshe seems to say that it's not included, and the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch seems to say it is included. There are different opinions about this. Most follow the practice of not eating it. I think that's the more prevalent minhag today. That once the Zman Isser begins, so egg matzahs are off limits, but there are some big poskim who question that, but I think that most people follow that practice. So again, so the matzah has to be matzah shel lechemoni. It's got to be chameches mini dogon. What else does it have to be? So the Gemara says in the Sechem of Pesachim, based on the Pesach Mishmat, it matzah, it has to be shmur matzah. There's a big question, what does that mean? So Rashi writes that shmur matzah means it has to be baked lishma, it has to be made lishma. It's like, if the Torah has to be lishma, and tzitzit has to be lishma, and get has to be lishma, so matzahs have to be made lishma as well. And the Rambam, in one place, doesn't describe Shmur that way. In one place, the Rambam describes Shmur as being Shira Mechimutz. That means you have to be extra specially careful that it doesn't become Chometz. It's not that you need a Chefetz of Lishma. The word Shmur is more of a passive sense. You have to be extra special as a hero, above and beyond the regular call of duty. That's what Shmur means. And in one other place, the Rambam seems to also fall back a little bit on Rashi's idea. So it could be that they're both true. So the bottom line is we follow both. Means we will insist on only eating matzah that Shmura is an extra level of zehirus in terms of Shmur Michimutz, and also has to be made Lishma. But that idea that has to be made Lishma, that's only true for the matzah at the Seder. If you eat matzah the rest of the week of Pesach, so although the Gra holds that's a mitzvah kiyumis, but it's not a mitzvah kiyumis, not everyone even agrees to the Gra. So you're not mechuyav of the matzah the rest of the week. So if you want to eat non-Shmur, technically you can. So there is some more of the practice of eating Shmur the entire week, because of the Rambam. Because since the Rambam says that Shmur not only means making it Lishma, but it also means that the Torah is Mechaiva, so the Rabbanon, whatever the source for Shmur is, the Reis of the Rabbanon, that there's a higher level of Shmur that's necessary. And that extra level of Shmur, the Kesef Mishnah writes, there's no reason to differentiate between the first night and the rest of the week. If it's a Matzah Digadin, a Mitzvah Digadin, then it doesn't make sense after the first night. Whereas if it's a Chometz Digadin, then it makes sense even on the third day, Chol HaMoed. What does Shmur mean? At what point do you have to do Shmur? Whatever you think Shmur is, at what point do you have to do it? So that's a big machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes in Mishnah Halacha. Do we say Shmur means Bishas Lisha? Means at the moment that the water and the flour naturally come together, that's when the mitzvah Shmur kicks in. Whatever happens before, there was no special dinner Shmura. What do I say? No. That it's not when the flour and the water mix in. It's at whatever point in the process, if in theory it could become chometz at that point, in theory, the flour and water could touch at that point. So even though they didn't, yeah, that's already considered to be in the parish of Shmura. So that's chapsa big enough kamina. That's from Ketzira to Lisha. That's a lot of money. That's a low process. So if you hold that Shmura only begins Mishas Lisha, so then it doesn't matter who's harvesting. Anybody can, any time they get out, can harvest the grain. You assume that it didn't come into contact with the water until you put water into the mixture. If you hold that Shmura means Mishas Ketzira, it's Kozman, that it's still connected to the ground side from Chometz. Otherwise, how could wheat ever grow? Every wheat becomes Chometz when it's connected to the ground. Obviously, Kozman, it's not subject to chimutz, but once it's detached from the ground, then it's in the parish of chimutz, and that's going to be a problem. So that's what that minig is, that we try very, very hard on Pesach night only to eat matzahs that are shmura all the way back from Shas Ktzira. If a person is mamish stuck, they have no other matzahs, so then all the matzahs that we have are lishma Shas Lisha. So of course, the mamish stock, the regular box and machine manashevitz matzahs. So according to many mishum, they probably still, I'd say, they would still be yotzei the mitzvah. But lechatchila, we always try to get matzahs that are all the way back from shas ktsira. When we speak about the matzahs being done derech shmura, so again, according to Rashi, we hold that shmura means that's made lishma, done lishma. That's a loaded question about Can Lishma be created through a machine? So that was a big machlokes in Europe. In the end of the 1800s, when the machines started to come, they started to make matzahs, so there were some poskim who were vehemently opposed to the machine matzahs on two grounds. First of all, the old machines weren't very efficient, and then the dough would get stuck inside the machines. They were all torn to chametz, so they were concerned there was a lot of chametz issues. And in addition to that, they weren't so convinced that pressing a button, turning a crank, turning a lever is all of a sudden considered to be a ma'isa adam in order to qualify as being made lishma. So there was a big machlokes, because the Hasidic Shaboskim were all very, very much opposed to the Shmur Matzahs, and many of the Litvish Shaboskim, once they got their act together and they started to clean up the machines a little bit, the technology got a little bit better, so then the lishma part, so many of the Litvish Shaboskim weren't as concerned with. So we have machlokes, and so the Hasidim won't touch machine matzahs. And there are some of them who even prefer it. Some of them say it's even better. It's even more carefully guarded. It's better chance of it not being chametz in there. And most people are somewhere in the middle. I mean, yeah, where hands are good, machines are also good. Everything's good. Everything's wonderful. And then you pick whichever you want. So most people like that hand matzah. It looks more authentic. It looks more, it's just Mitzrayim. You know, and walking out of Mitzrayim with a box of, Manashevitz Shmur matzahs, doesn't sit well with most people, emotionally. But again, the Igra did, and we probably pass for either one of them. As long as the boxes are the Shema. So many of the machine matzahs are taka shmura. So if a person wants to use machine matzah, they should buy, if one that's say on the buffet, shmura mishas ktsira, that's a l'shem matzahs mitzvah. How much matzah do you have to eat? So it's like all other dinyan Torah, you have to eat a kezayis. It's a lach mashtina that stamach is the kezayis. And the kezayis has to be partaken of it within the shiur of kedech l'spras. That's the amount of time that it would take a normal person eating at a normal pace to eat an X amount of bread. How much is that? Either X amount of eggs or Y amount of eggs, different opinions, exactly how much that is, but it's significantly more than just a kezayis. So you have, if you eat a kezayis at a normal pace, you will by definition for sure be eating a kedech l'spras. Kedech l'spras is either 3 eggs or 4 eggs, so that's much, much more than the size of a kezayis. So whatever you think kezayis is, if you think kezayis is this big, then your shi'as kedechas bras becomes that big. If you think kezayis is this big, then your shi'as is much smaller. So there's no reason logically to take the biggest kezayis with the smallest kedechas bras shi'a. It's a stira gluya because it's a ratio. So whatever you think kezayis is, a kebetza grows by leaps and bounds together with a kezayis. So how much is a kezayis? So we all know there are different ways of being mashar kezayis. The Nebi Huda had his famous chumra. The Nebi Huda claimed that he thinks the shiurim got misunderstood bisman hazeh, that all shiurim are actually double because they're based on a calculation of eggs, and he thinks the eggs are small bisman hazeh. So some achronim accept the Nebi Huda, some disagree with the Nebi Huda. So when it all boiled down to the Mishnah Berurah, is a little bit machmer in this. Mishnah Berurah says that the matzahs mitzvah derais try to take a little bit bigger shiur. So there are different opinions about this. I'm not going to go through what the numbers are. You can read any charts and books yourselves. But whatever numbers they tell you are probably smaller than that. I mean, the kezayisim are probably fairly on the much, much smaller end than some of these, very, very large numbers that are given. So it's important to know that for people who are not so well, a person, Baruch Hashem, is young and healthy, they can eat a lot of matzah. They should eat a lot of matzah. There's no mitzvah to sit and count every speck of matzah and to put your matzahs on cards and maislach. A normal guy should sit down, make a mitzvah, make a chas matzah, and eat like a mech, eat a nice gesunt, a good fat piece of matzah. So it's going to be, I'd say, the mitzvah. Forget, the Rambam sounds like there's a mitzvah to eat more matzah. The Rambam sounds like kezayis is a minimum. The more you eat, the more greater kima mitzvah is. So one shouldn't skimp on the matzah eating. If you're dealing with a person who's sick, then you have to find out exactly how much is a kezayis is. So you have to look at what the shiurim are. So try to find the smallest shiurim for people who are really, really having trouble eating as much matzah as they can. Fine. So the bottom line is you're supposed to eat a piece of matzah. Right before you eat the matzah, you make brachas, you make a moitzelech merot, and make alachilas matzah. So the Rishonim have different eitzas about how to hold the matzahs, how to maneuver the matzahs when you make these two brachos. So the most prevalent minhag that we have today, I think, is as follows. Now, we have three matzahs on the table, so we pick up all three matzahs, we make a mozi, and then after you make a mozi, you put down the bottom matzah, because that way the alachinas matzahs is more mityacheses to the prusa. So you almost like the Rashbam and the Rambam rolled into one. So for the hamotzi part, so that's like a regular brachas ha-nehenin. So for that you have all three matzahs. So that way you have shleibas of lachamishna. The alachinas matzah parts, we try to highlight a little bit that it's on the prusa, so you put the bottom one down. That's what I think most people try to do. So again, you have to eat your matzah within a normal amount of time of eating. You shouldn't raise a charum. So you're not mechuyav to go sit with a stopwatch to look. You should just eat the matzah. If you eat matzah normally, at a normal pace, You shouldn't be shmoozing anyway, because the Rishonim say you're not really supposed to talk. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, you're not supposed to talk from the time of Amotzi until after Kerich. Because according to some Rishonim, the reason why we don't make a bracha in Kerich is because it's covered by the bracha of the Achilas Matzah, Achilas Mar from before. So if a guy's going to talk at that point, he's going to interrupt the bracha. So anyway, you shouldn't be talking. So if you're not talking, you're not shmoozing. So what are you doing? It's just eating and chewing, swallow, just eat like a mensch, and you'll be totally fine. So you're not mechuf to check your cards, not mechuf to check your watch. Just sit and eat a nice kuzut, a fat piece of matzah, at a normal pace, normal clip, and you'll be totally fine in terms of fulfilling this mitzvah. So after you finish the mitzvah of matzah, then begins the mitzvah of maror. So the Gemara tells us the end of Masechet Pesachim. Unlike matzah, we pass kedach a maror. Everyone agrees that maror is only the rabban b'zman hazeh, because there's no korban pesach. But him calls it chazal masapin. You have to eat it. So you have to eat the parsha pshat. You have to eat a kizayis of maror. So what's considered to be maror? So the Mishnah gives off a list of different kinds of maror. The Mishnah speaks about the chameshes minim maror. So it's not 100% clear what all of those minim are. So the only one that, not the only one, but one of them that we are pretty certain about, that's lettuce. Rashi on the spot gives you the old French word, which is for lettuce. So we assume that lettuce is considered to be from the Chumash Minei Moro. The minig always was to use a romaine lettuce. So some poskim said that Labdafka romaine, you can use other species of lettuce also. But those follow the practice. The minig has been for quite some time to try to get romaine lettuce. In Europe, they couldn't get it. They didn't have lettuce in Rome. In Europe, they didn't have a lot of things in Europe. So the minig in Europe was they used to use chareim, used to use horseradish. So they assumed that was also one of the Chumash Minei Moro. So some poskim raised the question. Some poskim said that it wasn't really true. And in Europe, they had nothing else. They would just use it as a substitute, but it wasn't really good for the mitzvah. And others say no, they say that it was good. Somebody just sent me a shout, text me a shout today, that they like to eat the romaine lettuce, but they like to put some chrein onto the horseradish, onto the romaine lettuce to give it a little bit of a kick, make it a little bit more mariris. So they asked me, is that a good idea? So I said, it may not be such a great idea, because according to those who say that chrein is not really maror, so it could be that chrein is going to ruin the mitzvah. It's going to bottle the lettuce. So I said, if you really, really have this, very emotional tie to your white horseradish, like your great-great-grandfather did, so then eat your kezayis of maror of lettuce first. You finish your kezayis of lettuce. Then when you're done, you swallow the last drop of your real maror. Then take a spoonful of chrein to make yourself feel good, to make yourself feel miserable, bitter, whatever you want to do. But in terms of the mitzvah itself, it's probably better you just eat the lettuce plain rather than start mixing and matching together. Okay, so we'll have to remind next week when we left off the middle of Mar. We still have a little more to do Mar, and we'll move on to Kerich. We'll try to, how many we have? I think 2 more weeks, right? Okay, we'll try to finish up the Seder. Maybe we'll try to first Omer for good luck, and we'll see where. And then we got to go back to Lulav right afterwards. How many weeks do we have after Pesach? Probably not too many, right?
Three or four.
Okay, we'll see if we can finish up.
I'm looking at Kerich and what's up.